The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. On today's program, Andrew explains how miraculous changes can take place in your life when you stop limiting God with small thinking. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I've entitled Don't Limit God, and this is the beginning of my fourth week of teaching on this. You know, the Lord spoke to me January the 31st, 2002, that I was limiting Him by my small thinking. He used Psalm 78:41 to teach me that. And I tell you, I made some decisions, and my life has just transformed. I put out a teaching in 2002 about all of that entitled Taking the Limits Off of God. Now it's 7 years later, and the change that this has produced in my life and in my ministry is just, I mean, it's phenomenal. It really is. My employees that have been with me for a while, the man that's right behind our camera right now has been with me for 22 years or something like that. 23 years he held his fingers up. And I tell you what, he could testify and tell you that it is just absolutely phenomenal, the change that has taken place. And I found that this isn't just true of me. It's not like this was something that was unique to me. I believe that all of us limit God. And so I've updated this teaching, and I've included everything that was in the first teaching, plus what we're going to get into sometime this week. I'm going to start talking about your imagination and hope and how you have to see things on the inside, your vision. And I think that this is really going to help you. But I've been talking about that, first of all, you've got to recognize that God doesn't just sovereignly do things. We have a part to play, and if we aren't doing our part, then we can limit what God wants to do. You can't fulfill God's will for your life accidentally, so you must know what God's will is. I've talked about how that unbelief limits God. That's what I've been talking about. Excuse me. The third thing I was going to say was that fear limits God. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of change, fear of success can limit God. And then the last couple of days of last week, I was talking about how unbelief limits God and how you can overcome that. And so we've already dealt with that. And of course, that's really pretty obvious, but it needs to be said that you have to believe. It takes faith to release the power of God in your life. God is a God of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for they that come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." It takes faith to see God's will come to pass in your life. And let me just say that God made all of us for more than what most of us are living. God made us for victory. God didn't make us to be defeated. Now, we do live in a corrupted world, and because of that, there are hardships, hurts, and pains that come our way. And I don't believe that you can totally avoid those things because we live in a fallen world. And so, yes, there are going to be problems, but the Lord wants us to be victorious in the midst of every single thing that comes our way. And I guarantee you, that is not natural. The natural thing to do is to fall apart like a $2 suitcase when problems come your way. But the supernatural thing to do is to be an overcomer. And the Bible says, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ." In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says that God gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world. Not just the one to come, not just hell in the future, but from this present evil world. The Lord wants you to have victory right now. And to do that, it takes faith. And so I really emphasize that you've got to overcome this unbelief. Let me also emphasize that it says over in the book of James, let me turn over and read this, in James chapter 2, and in verse 20 it says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." I've emphasized faith in contrast to unbelief, and now faith has to be acted on. In other words, obedience is an important part of taking the limits off of God. And you know, it's important that I say this because I preach on the grace of God so much. And I say that God loves us unconditionally. And even if you've got sin in your life, even if you fail to be all that you should be, God still loves you. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, Romans 11:29. In other words, He doesn't take it back. If you don't live up to it, He doesn't say phooey on you and forget you. God's purposes and plans for you are the same. God loves you independent of your performance. And this leads some people to think, so it just doesn't matter whether we obey God or not. Well, sure it matters. It matters in a lot of ways. One of the ways is God is going to still love you regardless whether you obey or disobey. But if you disobey God, Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." If you don't yield yourself to God, instead you yield yourself to sin, then you have yielded yourself to Satan, the author of that sin, and he's going to eat your lunch and pop the bag. You don't want to give Satan that kind of an inroad into your life. And also this verse that I just read, faith without works is dead. Faith that isn't acted on, it dies. It has to have actions to be alive and vibrant and working. And, you know, really, this isn't something that you have to force. If you really believe something, you will act on what you believe. What you believe in your heart is what you're really acting. So you might sit here and say, well, I believe that it's God's will for me to be well. But if you're sitting there planning your future and you're talking about a funeral and you're thinking in your mind how your funeral's going to be and you're making burial plot arrangements and doing all of these things, you know, you can sit there and say that you're believing God, but your actions are going to determine or reveal what is really in your heart. You may know that God wants you well, but you aren't really believing that you're going to get well because your actions indicate it. And that's just what the Scripture says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. It's just the way that you are. So if you really believe something, there's going to be corresponding actions. You know, if you were in a room, let's say that there was a number of people sitting in a chair listening to me or something, and somebody runs in and says, the building's on fire. We're all going to die if we don't get out of here. You know, if you really believed it, I mean heart level believe that the building's on fire and we're going to die if we don't get out of here, you would have actions. Now, the actions can vary from person to person. Some people might faint. That might be their action. They might just be overwhelmed with fear and they might faint. Other people might panic and they may just start doing something weird because they're in a panic mode. Somebody else might try and get something and put out the fire. Somebody else might push and shove and hurt somebody else trying to get out of the way. Some might scream. There could be different actions based on what your personality is, but you cannot imagine under any stretch of the imagination a person sitting there, a person comes in and says, we're going to die if we don't get out of here, and they just sit there and say, oh, I believe this. I believe what you say, Andrew. I believe I'm going to die if I don't get out of here. And you just sit there and do nothing. And you just sit there and there's no response. You don't faint. You don't scream. You don't try and put it out. You don't panic. You don't run. You just sit there and do nothing. You know, if a person responded that way, you would honestly doubt whether their elevator goes all the way to the top floor. Amen. Whether they have, if the lights are on, but nobody's home. You'd think something is wrong with you. You're crazy. If you really believe something, there's actions that go along with it. And let me just make this point, that there are some of you that God has spoken things to you, and yet, for whatever reason, you aren't acting in agreement, consistently, positively, with what God has told you to do. I just do not understand that. I've seen it, but it's certainly not good. You will limit God with that kind of an attitude. You know, let me use as an example right here that I can give you five or six examples of this right off the top of my head. But one in particular, there was this man that came to me and he had heard me on television. God spoke to him and told him to come to our Charis Bible College here in Colorado Springs. He was from Chicago. And he came down to Colorado Springs and met with me, but he wasn't committed to coming here yet. He was just kind of searching it out, and he came into my office and he says, "I know God spoke to me, but..." And then he began to tell me about how his parents, he was a real young guy, about 19 or 20 years old, how his parents were in total disagreement. He was also involved in a company with his parents, and he was going to lose all of this money and possibly the opportunity to inherit the business. His pastor had heard me on television and didn't like me and thought that this was a cult and didn't want him to come. And so there was all of this criticism and all of these negative things. He was making good money up there. He had no guarantees of anything down here. He just had, you know, five or six major negative things contrary to what he felt God had told him in his heart. And so he came into my office and he says, "I know God spoke to me to come, but..." And then he started giving all of these other things, what his parents said, what his pastor said, about his finances, about the possible inheritance of the business, and on and on. And he went through all this stuff. And I let him talk for 15 or 20 minutes. And then he finally says, "What do you think?" And I said, "You lost me the moment you said God told me to come." I said, "If God told you to come, then you've got to act on it. Faith without works is dead. Just do what God told you." "Well, what about this?" "What?" I said, "Who cares about any of this?" I said, "God can work that out." I said, "There might be some wisdom to use. I don't think it's wrong to say, 'God, give me the wisdom to know how to do this in a way that doesn't offend my parents. Give me the wisdom to do it in a way that I can still keep a good financial income coming.' You know, it might be something that you ask for wisdom, but to debate whether or not you will do what God told you to do, I don't even think that way. I don't go there. That's not how I live my life. You have to get to an attitude to where you just do what God tells you to do. There might be some wisdom about when to do it, how to do it, but it should never be a question of, am I going to do it? If God speaks something to me, I will do it. I will do it if it causes me ruin, if it causes me rejection. I will do it. You know, what I'm saying is really simple, and this ought to be obvious, and yet I can't tell you how many people come to me with this exact same thing. I've got an employee right now that this man was making good money. I mean, he had he has like five children, I think it is. And he was making quite a bit of money. He was a Bible college student. He had graduated, and he really wanted to work for this ministry. He felt called to do it. And we were starting up our night school classes. And so we asked him if he would start running the night school, which was only a part-time job. We didn't even know for sure if anybody was going to come. So it was only a part-time job. And it would have been like a 50% pay cut for him. And he had, I think, four or five children, was living in a very nice house, and it was going to put him in a bind. And so anyway, he was out at my house and he was talking to me and he says, "I know this is God. This is exactly what I've prayed for. It's a step. It's the end road. I'm moving in the right direction. I know this is what God wants me to do, but..." And then he started telling me about his decrease in pay. "And how am I going to pay for this? And do I need to go get a smaller house? Do I need to do something? What about my kids? What about my witness?" And just on and on. And he started talking. He went on for 15 or 20 minutes. Finally, he says, "What do you think?" And I said, "You lost me the moment you said God told you to do this." I said, "If God tells you to do it, you just do it." I said, "If you have to get a smaller house, you get a smaller house. If you have to sell one car and keep, I mean, sell a car and keep only one instead of two or three, whatever, you just do. You just do what God tells you to do." I said, "Who cares what else it does?" To me, it is such a privilege, such an honor to have God Almighty, the ruler of the universe, billions of people on this planet. Who knows how many thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions or billions of angels, all of the universe he's watching. He's got all of these things to do. And God Almighty talks to you, asks you to do something, and you're going to debate whether you do it. Boy, that just doesn't compute to me. And so I told the guy, I said, "Look, you lost me the moment you said God told you to do it. You just do it and let the chips fall where they may." And anyway, the story goes that this guy accepted the job, and this was around May or something like that. School wasn't starting until August, and so he was still working for his previous employer. He wasn't going to come to work until August. And it turned out that in, I think it was July, the director of our our Bible school quit. Anyway, a lot of things happened, but we moved people around, and it turned out that instead of him running the night school, which was a part-time position, we needed him as an administrator in our day school. And it was a full-time position, and it paid nearly exactly what he was getting at his other job. He didn't lose a thing. He's in full-time ministry. He's happy. He's a blessing. And you know what? He chose to go ahead and follow God. And if he hadn't have already accepted that part-time position that we offered him, I don't think that we would have used him for this full-time position. You know what? He accepted it. He made the commitment that possibly could have cost him something. But before he lost a penny on the deal, amen, he was already promoted and it worked out. And I'm telling you that there are people watching this program right now that God has put something in your heart. And for whatever reason, you're thinking about the finances that's involved. You're wondering about how am I going to get this done. You're debating this. Somebody's criticized you and you've got the fear of offending somebody. And there's just a multitude of things that Satan can throw at you. But I'm telling you that if you have a word from God and if you want to take the limits off and see God's best come to pass, then do it. Just do it regardless of what the consequences are. Do it. Make sure that you're hearing from God. Make sure that this isn't your own flesh. Make sure that it isn't something that's just out of pride or out of rebellion or arrogance. And listen to counsel. And maybe you could get some counsel about the timing on when to do it, how to do it. Maybe there's more wisdom than what you would be prone to use on your own and you need to use somebody else's counsel. But if you know that God has spoken to you, it might be that you need to get some wisdom, some clarification, but it ought not to be an option about whether or not you do it. I'm telling you, if you want to take the limits off of God, you need to get this attitude that I'm describing right here. You just need to get to a place to where I will do, I will obey, I will do what God told me to do. And again, let me clarify that if you don't obey, it doesn't offend God. God loves you independent of your performance. But disobedience is a direct inroad of Satan into your life, and it will just eventually kill your faith. Faith without works is dead. Here's another scripture in Isaiah chapter 1 in verse 19, and it says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." Notice it's not just the obedience. There are some people who obey through gritted teeth. But in the New Testament, the Scripture reveals that God looks on the heart. And it's the attitude you do things with that is actually more important than your actions. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, that if I give all of my goods to feed the poor, or if I give my body to be burned, and don't do it with charity, that's God's kind of love, it profits me nothing. So this means that if you yield yourself to the point that you starve yourself or even give your life in sacrifice so that somebody else could live, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But if you don't do it motivated by love, it profits you nothing. Somebody says, how could a person sacrifice their life and not do it motivated by love? We see it happen all the time. People burn themselves in protest. They're angry. They're bitter. They're doing things. If you do it for any other motivation than by love, it profits you nothing. So that shows that the motive behind your action is more important than your action. And so it's not just obedience through gritted teeth, but it says in Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, then you will eat the good of the land. And notice, it's not just the willing part. There are some people say, oh, I'm willing to go anywhere. But then when the Lord speaks to them, they are so busy. They got their life so in hock up to their ears, they can't do it. It's not just the willingness to go. You've got to also do it. There has to be this combination. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Lord spoke to Elijah and told him to go to the brook Cherith. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And it says, and he went and did according to the word of the Lord. You know, the Lord said that I have commanded the ravens. He didn't say, I am going to command the ravens. If you will obey, if I see you heading in this direction, then I'll send the ravens. That's not what he said. He says, I have commanded the ravens to bring you bread and flesh every morning. He had already done that. And you know, I really believe that even though God had made the supply and had already spoken to these ravens, if Elijah hadn't have obeyed and gone to the brook Cherith, he could have died in the famine. He could have died of thirst or starvation, and yet there would have been this huge pile of provision over there at this brook because God had already spoken to him. God sent his provision, but he didn't send the provision to where he was. He sent the provision to where he told him to go. Man, that is major. That is huge. You know, I've used this example before, but it's like in football. The quarterback doesn't throw the football to where the receiver is. He throws the football to where he told the receiver to go, and then they connect down there. God doesn't send his provision to where you are. He sends his provision to where he told you to go. There is a place called there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It's there that your provision is, not here. And there are some people who God has spoken to, and you know that God wants you to do something, but I can't see how it's going to work. We have people do this all the time with our Bible college. We have people come up and say, I know God has told me to come here, but I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know where my provision is. Well, it's not where you are. It's not staying in your town. It's here. It's where God told you to go. If you would go and do, if you would obey, you'd find out that when you got there, that's where the provision is. There's a place called there where your provision is. And the reason you aren't experiencing that provision is because you aren't all there. Amen. You need to go and do what God told you to do. A lack of obedience will stop God. It will limit what God can do. I tell you, this is profound. It's really simple. And I know to those of you that have some background in the Word of God, some spiritual maturity, you think, well, of course, this is obvious. But I just can't tell you how many times I talk to people that they have direction from God, but they aren't doing it because of this and because of that. There's always some reason. But I'm just saying that there is nothing that should ever stop you from doing what God called you to do. Obedience is absolutely essential. Faith without works is dead. If you be willing and obedient, then and only then are you going to eat the good of the land. You've got to obey what God puts in your heart. And brothers and sisters, I know in my heart, I'm speaking to people right now that you have a word from God. You know, if something was to happen and I just said, if money was not a problem, if no restrictions, no criticism, if you didn't feel inadequate, if you just eliminate every reason, what is it that you have in your heart? There's some of you that instantly you got a very clear direction from God. But you just haven't done it because you're looking at all of the things. I'm telling you, forget everything else. And just make a commitment that I'm going to go and do what God called me to do. And if you'll just take that first step, put a little bit of motion to your boat, then God can begin to steer and direct that. But if you keep still, you can flip a rudder 360 degrees and it won't give any direction to that boat. You got to be moving. Start doing something. Do what God told you to do, and that'll take the limits off of God. Now, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this teaching on our programs throughout the week. I'd like to encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive these products that we're offering from this recent teaching I did in Phoenix, Arizona, and call or write today.
Andrew's five-part teaching titled, Don't Limit God, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available in either a CD album or a DVD album for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1060C or DVD album T3204D when you contact us. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1060D when you send a gift of any amount to this ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We can't overemphasize how grateful we are to you. The fourth teaching in the audio CD album titled Don't Limit God Part 4 is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TK150C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Everyone who sends a gift today will receive the bonus Don't Limit God sticker. This reversible static decal will cling to your window or mirror, reminding you not to limit God with small thinking.
You know, I feel in my heart that God was really speaking to some of you today and that you just need to make a decision and start doing what God told you to do. You know, the first step could be that you just call in and speak to one of our prayer ministers and just tell them, but this is what God has told me to do, and in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do it. You just make a commitment to do it. You can get those products that we're offering if you'll call in, but as you're talking to the person, talk to them and just have them pray with you and agree with you and seal this. That could be your first step. And it's important that you do something. Faith without works is dead. So pick up that phone. You have the number right there on your screen and call today. Order the materials and tell somebody that, praise God, you are going to do what God called you to do.
Visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of resources free for you to download for yourself and to share with others. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We hope to hear from you today. To invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs. Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.